Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the good season. It's Lamarathon here all the time at WNST. We're going to be taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road beginning April 5th. We're going to be at Costas celebrating 50 years of the Maryland Lottery. I have some instant lottery scratch-offs. I'm going to be giving these things away like Oprah. You get a ticket. You get a ticket. You're a winner. You're a winner. That's the 5th from 2 until 5, and then on the 7th, we're at Fadley's down at Lexington Market. Big week, man. Opening day is the 6th. The 7th, we're opening the new arena, the CFG Bank Arena. Springsteen's in on the 7th. The Eagles are in on the 8th. I'm going to be at Fadley's eating crab cakes on the 7th, and who the hell knows? Joe Walsh and Don Henley and Vince Gill and Bruce Springsteen and Nils Lofgren might walk in for all we know. And if they do, I hope this guy walks in. He's out in Las Vegas. You think your football team has problems? He's doing the Raiders out there, and for 20-some-odd years is waiting for the promised land that we've had. He's waiting to write Black Hole Rain 1 and 2 and 3. JT the Brick does overnight radio and local radio in Vegas, and you can hear him with Sirius XM and Mad Dog Radio. And, of course, you can follow him, as all astute sports fans do, at JT the Brick on all social media. What's up, Brick? How are you, man? Good to have you on my show for a change. You have me on yours all the time, and I appreciate it.
Great to see you, Ness. And I want to remind you, the Raiders have played in 5 Super Bowls, winning 3, and have had a lot of success. But
this century,
right.
This century.
You're right.
Since you got involved.
I'm going on year 25.
Wow.
I'm coming up on my 25th this year. Just completed 24, and new GM, new coach, new quarterback, and Jimmy G. And here we go. Another reload. The Raiders are trying to get this right, and they're taking the long train now. They're trying to get it right with a new coach and a new GM and build something which the GM, Dave Ziegler, quotes the Ravens often. Little insight to your listeners. He always says, and viewers, we want to have something that's consistent like the Ravens had, where you know every year they're going to be in it. And that's what they're trying to do out here in Vegas.
Well, look, I'm not here to bag on Al Davis, Mark Davis, Amy Trask, you, the Raiders, anything. But there's more of what you deal with in 25 years. And aside from them taking my credentials and having no integrity, that's another story altogether. But what we've had here for 25 years, guys like you press up to the glass like looking at a puppy dog and saying, wish I had the same coach. Wish we had the same general. Wish we had stability. Wish we had Ray Lewis. Wish we had John Ogden. On and on and on and on. That, you know, I would say the Raiders are a poverty franchise, but there's more franchises where a guy like you that's been there 25 years has had multiple this, multiple that, chasing this, desperately chasing that, bad signings, bad contracts, coaches that didn't work out, like all of that drama that goes on. And the Ravens really are looked at in your world from the outside as saying, yeah. Yeah, a couple coaches, a couple general managers, same people, same owner, same everything. If this Lamar thing doesn't work out, it's not because they're effed up. They'll figure it out. And in other places, in a lot of other places in the league, you know, most places in the league, more than half of the league, there's a churn and burn and a drama that goes on about losing, not about winning. This drama here with Lamar Jackson, I don't know how it's going to turn out, Brick, and it's been fascinating. What do you see globally when you're doing national radio, talking to a lot of other people? This Lamar thing's one of the biggest stories in sports. One of the biggest stories in Baltimore sports history, man.
Yeah, I think it's a massive story because people are getting involved in all different levels of the conversation. Collusion, the fact that why is he a quarterback that hasn't got a qualifying offer? It's very complicated. The intro to my show, Brick at Night on Mad Dog during the week, the intro, the imaging says, just because Deshaun Watson got a stupid contract doesn't mean you're going to get one. And it's not completely directed at Lamar, but people think it is. I'm talking the whole league. Just because Jimmy Haslam gave that stupid $240 million guaranteed, other people believed that, oh my God, now it used to be Kirk Cousins' $83 million guarantee, which he cashed every ticket. Now Deshaun Watson, who got basically embarrassed and thrown out of Houston for his crude and lewd behavior, fact, not fiction, that everybody who's better than Deshaun Watson is going to get $240 million guaranteed. Lamar is the first test study in that, where Steve Bisciotti said no, and Mark Davis is probably saying no, and the York family in San Francisco, Santa Clara are saying no. We're not going to participate in a $240 million guaranteed contract. Maybe we'll do 180 with clauses and incentives to get you to 250. And we know Mahomes can get $300 million and maybe Justin Herbert. It's just a shame for Lamar because he's 26. He's got an MVP. He's made every throw you could ever make in your life and put it on tape. There should have been two or three offers already. But I think everybody believes, Ness, that once he gets the offer of $170 million guaranteed, Bisciotti's just going to hit tag. They'll tag him for that and say, see, Lamar, we were ready to give you that money. You wanted to shop it on your own. You got the price. We don't have to pay you more now, and we're going to tag you at that number. So he's in a bad spot, and he doesn't have an agent on top of that either.
I don't know that they would tag him at $170 million, knowing that they can't go back and renegotiate and get cap room with him. I mean, this thing without an agent, dude, like – it was cute and clever when he and mom are laying there in the green thing 5 years ago. It's cute and clever when he's MVP and saying, pay me, pay me, pay me. It's not cute when you get hurt in November, 2 years in a row, as predicted here on this year program, because quarterbacks are running the linebackers. I wouldn't pay him 250 either, even if they were Mahomes and running into linebackers at this point, threw the ball like that and worked like that. I just think there's a fundamental problem when your quarterback runs in the linebackers, and there's a fundamental problem when you build your offense around him doing that 12, 15, 18, 21 times in a game, which has happened around here. He ran the ball 21 times in a game and then never played again the rest of the year.
Yeah, well,
so, and then they don't want questions about it when they have him, but now that it's dangling, it sure looks like the Ravens are more than willing to part with him, and it certainly appears when he doesn't show up for playoff games that he's willing to not be a part of what they're doing.
Yeah, and that was the one that jumped out at me, and I said it the day that happened because I was on Sunday night, I believe, when that game was, and I came on and I said, oh, my God, what a bad look. What a bad look that he wasn't on the sideline one time to pull the coach.
That would help him get the contract in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Or in Indianapolis or anywhere else, right?
But more so in that game. I'm a big adjustment guy, and Harbaugh is pretty good at adjustments over his career. They go into halftime, Ravens, Pete Carroll in Seattle, whoever it is, there are better adjustment coaches than others. How cool would it have been to go into the locker room at halftime against your rival in a playoff game and say, Lamar, come over here, sit down. What did you see with not the headset on, but what did you see on this 3rd and 11? And you got the Microsoft tablet there and going, what should we do on this play? And Lamar's jumping over the pile going, run this naked boot, do this.
Because I'm getting better and I'll play next week if we win.
Right, and he's a teammate.
Ah.
Once he didn't show up there to that and Ray Lou. And look, if Lamar would have showed up in a boot or if he couldn't walk and if he was in a wheelchair, okay, he gets a free pass. But Ray Lewis would have been there. Terrell Suggs would have been there. The great Ravens, God bless the goose, if he couldn't play, would have been there to help their teammates out with a nugget of inspiration or the ability to make an adjustment. He didn't get on the plane. And that's when I knew Steve Bisciotti, who I don't know well, like you do, said, you know, probably Steve Bisciotti said, you know something? The hell with this guy. To disrespect me and my organization in a playoff game and not be there for inspiration on the sideline the way Ray Lewis would have, we don't need to give him a guaranteed contract of $200 million. I said it that night.
Well, the part of this that could get real uncomfortable if nobody comes along, that he has to come back, tail between his legs and play for $32 million, mm-hmm. the union's telling him they're colluding against you. You and I are like journalists and we're looking at it like they don't have any cap room. I mean, you know, the Saints made a decision. The Raiders made a decision. Coaches like Josh McDaniels said, I don't want to do that with my offense. I don't want my quarterback to run into linebackers. I don't want to bet my future on my quarterback running into linebackers. I'm not basing an offense on that. I'm not recruiting talent that way in free agency. I'm not signing in that way. I'm not thinking about the draft in that way. And the Ravens have changed everything they've done for 5 years in a way to build it around him so he could have success. And believe me, I'm not in John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta, Steve Bisciotti's camp in this. I know their lack of integrity. And this, whatever this campaign has been the last 6 months, Lamar not showing up for 8 months, OTAs there, playing well, hurt, sort of hurt, maybe hurt. They're telling the NFL Network people he's going to be back next week. He doesn't come back. He's his own agent issuing stuff. He's telling some poor guy up in Pennsylvania to perform fellatio out on the internet, and they're all running from that. I mean, and they didn't win a playoff game, and they've won one playoff game since the Super Bowl, Brick. You know what I mean? Like, they're not winning playoff games. They're not a part of that yet. Everybody says we want what the Ravens have. I look at this and say, Bisciotti, DaCosta, and Harbaugh will still be here next year, the year after that, and the year after that. They'll draft another quarterback. That's the way they were all thinking
about
this.
You're not gonna get another quarterback like this kid. You're not. I mean, the guy fills up the stadium, and you sit on the edge of your seat wondering if he's going to take it 60 yards and take it home himself. He could make every throw. I remember early in his career with my partner Looney at the time, and we would say, why is this guy getting criticism by the non-members of the media who don't break down tape? He makes every throw. He can throw off his back leg, his left leg going out of bounds. Everyone talks about Mahomes can throw that underneath pass and all that. So can Lamar. So as much as I think that he's getting penalized for not having an agent, for not being a great teammate, man, I'd take him here in Vegas all day long. I said that about Brady and Aaron Rodgers too, and I really like Jimmy Garoppolo. He's a winner, 40-17 lifetime, 2 Super Bowls. But Lamar, if you decide to go in a direction other than Lamar, you're not going to get a quarterback in this draft. You're not going to get Caleb Williams next year. You're going to get a developmental quarterback, which is going to take a year or two to develop him. We're talking 2023. Ravens aren't relevant unless they do a big free agent quarterback trade for 2 or 3 years. You're not winning without the level of Lamar Jackson. So careful what you wish for here. I'd bust his balls too and tell him he's not worth $240 million. But there's got to be a go-between here. There's got to be a negotiation with this young man. And I think what he should do right now is hire an agent, be mature about it, and say, you know something, this is getting away from me. I'm going to go get an agent, and my agent's going to clean this up, and I'm going to come back here and do this. Or find a way to get to Miami, where Stephen Ross tampered with Tom Brady and had to sit out for a year, and they lost picks. We know Lamar wants to get to South Beach. We know that he wants to get to Miami Gardens. That's where he wants to play. That's where he's most comfortable. They better find some common ground between the Dolphins and the Ravens to make it work.
It's fascinating. You bring it straight to the brick, JT, the brick, which is, what does the kid want? Does the kid really want to be a Raven? I mean, when Eric DaCosta's in there saying, we built the whole program around you, we're guaranteeing you $133 million, you're running the linebackers, you weren't healthy last year, you're not even healthy now, and we're putting the money out here for you. If you don't want it, you don't want to be our quarterback, and we – yeah, I love you a long time. I'm trying to marry you here. If you don't want to marry me, I got to get back on the Merchant Marine ship here, because we're not going to be held hostage. And it really feels, and I don't say this out loud because, you know, it feels like a hostage situation. It feels like he's holding the franchise hostage. That Cincinnati game felt that way to me a little bit playoff-wise. And I know Bisciotti thinks himself as a bad man. I would think that Bisciotti would have a burr up about, Eric, are we really going to give this kid $140 million now? And is he going to come back here happily? And can John be happy with that? And has Todd Monken met him yet? And I know the teammates are happy and they love him and all that, but like, is he going to come back here and help us win not one championship, 5 or 6 for the years that we're putting into him? We're putting the franchise with him for the next 4 or 5 years. I don't know that Steve's comfortable with that. I think they'd all be comfortable with $32 million and go, you know, work for your dinner. But I think, like, the collusion part of him having to come back and play on a franchise tag, it's a bad look for the league. To your point, you crawl over glass out in Las Vegas or any point when you're in Oakland to have a kid like this, and nobody wants him all of a sudden.
No, they do want him. They just don't want to pay the guarantee, Ness. This comes back to the guarantee, and here's why Lamar's in trouble. The market was set with Deshaun Watson. I said, throw it out. It's like someone in your neighborhood buys a house or sells a house and they redo the kitchen, they redo the backyard, and you're sitting there and you don't have a redone kitchen and a pool in your backyard, and you're saying, they just sold that house for 1.2. Let's put it on the market here for 1.2. No, 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 no. That house is a lot better than yours. So the problem is Deshaun Watson's number is a throwout statistic. Throw it out. But the problem is Herbert to me is the big one. I've seen this guy live 3 times. He's the best I've ever seen since John Elway. He's got Elway all over him. He's the nastiest, biggest throwing guy. He might get 275, 280 guaranteed. Mahomes could get 300 guaranteed. You can't ask Lamar for 140 or 150, 170 guaranteed. That is this big dilemma we have. 240 right now doesn't work. 2 years from now, it's going to be 250, 270, maybe 300 guaranteed. And you're going to have Lamar play on a 5-year deal at $140 million guaranteed, or a 3-year deal. He's caught between a rock and a hard place because he deserves in my opinion, a minimum of $200 million guaranteed, which means he cashes every one of it. There's no incentives in there. It's like an MLB contract with Judge, an NBA contract with LeBron. It's a guaranteed deal. That's where the league is going as the league meetings come up here. And Roger Goodell, our guy's going to get $50 million guaranteed now. Not 32, not 34. Lamar wants the guaranteed. In Baltimore, please get off this 140 or 160 or just let him go. Because he's worth a lot more than 140, 160 guaranteed.
To whom?
To the Dolphins.
Where's their money? Where are they?
Well, the Dolphins, look, you know this because you are one of my only friends who goes to the owners' meetings throughout your career.
No, I don't go this year. I got thrown out. Okay,
I know that.
I would be there this weekend. I wanted to be there for the end of Dan Snyder, just for old time's sake.
That would have been fun. But you know how every team manages and massages the cap. You know how that could work out. I mean, I don't think he could play for the Saints. The Saints found a way to get Derek Carr in there for $34 to $35 million guaranteed. So what are you going to do? You're going to franchise tag Lamar and Derek Carr has never won a playoff game, never won a playoff game, never won an MVP. Lamar's going to make less than Derek Carr. You got to find the middle ground. This is a negotiation. Find the middle ground from $240 million to $170 million. Find the number in between. Make the kid happy. Tell him he's getting a little less because he doesn't have an agent. Hey, you don't have an agent, so that little less we're giving you, you're going to make up on the net. And if you go to Florida, where you go see Bruce and there's no state income tax, all of a sudden a little bit more there and you get closer to 190, 200, and I think the deal happens. I think he's going to be a Dolphin.
Wow. JT the Brick throwing bricks here at Baltimore Positive, as he does each and every day out on the internet. From the Dan Snyder thing, I just want to segue to that because we're Lamar-a-thon here. The owners' meetings are this week. The Snyder thing's fascinating. I mean, I'm in the triangle here with Snyder and Angelos and, you know, all of that going on here for all of these years. It's amazing when they want to get these guys out, they still can't get them out. That's the – all of these really rich and powerful guys, it would seem to me they just show up at his door and say, you're out, and go get a lawyer and F you, and we'll figure it out later. But you ain't running – you can be somewhere, but you can't be here. I thought that would have happened a long time ago. This is a fascinating power play by him and his lawyers and just how batshit crazy he is.
Well, this will be something that'll jolt you. And I look at that skyline behind you, so hold on. There's not one member of the media, and I'm not a journalist, there's not one member of the media who knows more about this than me. Because my mentor and the guy who hired me was Bruce Allen. Bruce Allen, who they took his 700,000 emails, and I'm sworn to secrecy on that because he's my mentor and my friend. And I got hired the same day that John Gruden got hired with the Raiders and worked with them twice, and I consider him a mentor and a friend of mine. I know what's going on. I know where the emails came from. I got a pretty good idea of who else was on some of the emails. I'm not going to break any news with you and all of this. I'm just telling you that Daniel Snyder will be forced out because of what he did and how he threw people under the bus within the then Redskin organization, now the Commanders.
We broke the law.
Again, yeah. I'm only going to go so far on this. It's all going to come out. It's all going to come out. And the fact of what happened to a couple individuals who had a really good reputation. Look, I'm not going to defend John Gruden's emails. I never would. But I will just tell you that was a bunch of men talking who were friends, great friends, thinking they were having a private conversation. Those were the only emails that got clipped. Only ones out of the 700,000. None of the ones that were flagged and got clipped. Now you're talking about Beth Wilkerson. You're talking about getting people in front of Congress, subpoenaing Dan Snyder. This is the biggest issue surrounding the NFL right now. It's not concussions and Tua. It's not the sale of a team. It's not the YouTube and Amazon money coming in, exploding the revenue. For the NFL, it's Daniel Snyder. I believe there's easily 24 votes to get him out. Easily. The problem is Daniel Snyder probably does have some dirt on more than a few people. He does, because he hires investigators. You know the story. You're back there in the region. He prepped for this a long time ago. So when they do come to him with the vote, and he's able to stand up before the vote and go, before you go and kick me out of the room for the vote, he's going to look a couple of them in the eye and go, you sure? Because you know what I know, and I know what you know, and that's what's happening here too, which might be a real big negotiation to get him out. I've always said that Bezos, whoever wants to buy the team, just give him like $100 million more. But the problem is Snyder wants $1 billion more, Ness, to go away quietly. He doesn't want to sell it to Jeffrey Bezos. He doesn't want to be embarrassed. He's a little Napoleon, so he doesn't want to be defeated. This is all about defeating Daniel Snyder. And to his credit, he's a little Napoleon. He will not be defeated and lose all his pride. He's going to make other people pay.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to get some popcorn. That's all. The Biltmore this weekend. The NFL owners' meetings are going on. JT the Brick is on overnights on the Sirius and Mad Dog Radio.
Not overnights. Well, we're on 6 to 9 Pacific. To midnight, but close. I consider it overnights, midnight to 6 a.m.
Okay, but
close. I'm up again.
It's nighttime after the sun sets.
No one has done more nighttime radio in the history of radio
than you.
I know. Including spinning rock and roll. I'm proud of that. We still do it, and we do it earlier because we get a 3-hour head start here in Las Vegas where it's been cold. It's been wet. We have the Sweet 16 this weekend, and the pools aren't open. The gorgeous women who swim up to you in bikinis with $700 bottles of vodka that really only cost the casino $12. No one's in the pool because we got a real winter out here, Ness. It's a real winter out here for once.
Well, I mean, global change and warming. I got to get out to Vegas sometime soon. I almost came out to the little Black Crows weekend. I didn't. I've abstained.
Whoa, hold on. You know my rule. No Steve Gorman.
No Black Crows.
I hope Steve Gorman sees this. He's a mutual friend. I told Steve this, and please share this bit with him. Just cut this out. I love the Black Crows when Steve Gorman was there. I loved them early. I saw them early. I saw them out here when they broke big. What they did to our friend Steve Gorman, what they asked him to do to rejoin the band, I said I would never, as Stephen A. would say, never ever go see the Black Crows. I'll listen to their discs with Gorman pounding in the background, but you will never catch me at a Crow show.
I read the book. It's the greatest rock and roll book ever written.
It's really good.
It's really good.
I know you've been touring with Bruce, which is great because you know my wife from Amsterdam when we could have saw the Stones. You know, I'll say this again to your audience that doesn't know this. I flew into Liverpool to see the Stones, and luckily they were epic. They hadn't played in Liverpool since 72. Let that sink in, and I saw them at the famed soccer stadium where Liverpool that. Then I meet up with you in Amsterdam, and the only concert ever missed in the history of the greatest frontman of all time, ever missed due to illness, was the one we were there because he got COVID, not in the hotel. He got COVID in the stadium when they tested him. And I said to my wife, she's dressed in black and I'm dressed in black and we got a beer and no one knew. It's my favorite rock and roll story. People were coming off the train, 5,000 at a time, all the cars smiling, dancing. And I'm the only one sitting there because Mick's bodyguard texts me and goes, Mick just tested positive for COVID. The show's over. And girls are dancing next to me. There was a language barrier. I don't speak Dutch. And I go, no concert. And they're like, yeah, right. I go, no, no concert. Then they put it up on the video boards. Mick has COVID, concert canceled. And my wife and I go, you want to talk about a bad beat? That's the single biggest bad beat in my rock and roll career.
You're in the stadium in the show.
I'm there. I'm outside the stadium. No, I'm outside the stadium waiting for Mick's bodyguard to take Julie and I from outside backstage to get all of our laminates to put us in front in Amsterdam on a night that was 75 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, and Mick gets COVID. Oh, still.
I'm telling you, downtown was rocking that night in Amsterdam. I mean, everybody had their gear out. Every bar, Stone songs were everywhere. It was kind of okay in the end because I've seen Mick a million times and I want to see him again, but it turned out okay. I got to spend time with you and Joel. I got to walk all the canals. It was good times. We'll do it again.
That was a great trip we had because it was my first time there. And I say this, I've been lucky to be to some cool places around the world, and many I haven't. It's one of the rare places I'm going to get back to quickly. I had such a good time in Amsterdam that I'm saying I have to go back again because the peace, the joy, the love, walking through those fields, walking to the museums, walking on the canals, all riding the bikes, staying at the W. My wife booked the W for 5 nights, so we're in the middle of the city. It was great. I recommend all of your viewers and listeners to go to Amsterdam. It was incredible.
I would highly recommend it. If my trip back there, the tulips have to be in bloom. I want to go down to the low country, about 40 miles outside of town, and see the fields where they grow the tulips. and it's just all color everywhere you look. I want to go do that. So that'll be my next thing. Maybe we'll get a tour over there that's not the Black Crowes, not the Stones. Maybe Mellencamp will go play over there.
Well, we're going to see the Stones at least one more time. And again, we want to hurry up, because Charlie passed away. And Keith is great. Ronnie Wood's great. Mick's in unbelievable shape. But they're coming out again. They got a new record, which scares me because I'm different. I like to hear the hits. I know some people like to hear the new music. Go see a McCartney show when he breaks out the new music and McCartney looks at everyone sitting down. I know he's Sir Paul, but Mick's going to come out with a new album. They're going to play 6 or 7 songs, which will be nice. My wife and I will hold hands in the lower bowl or on the ground right there on the floor. And every time we think we're saying goodbye to the Stones and tipping our cap, they come back for another tour, and I'll be right there for it.
I will be there as well. I hope the tickets are reasonably priced. That's hoping too much. JT the Brick is here. His show is reasonably priced. You can go grab it anytime, anywhere. Not overnight, just at night. I want to make that clear. I was serious. So, you know, when he winds up in the Dolphins jersey, I'm going to give you full credit, all right?
Jen Strong, as you know, best of the wife. And we're ready to roll. Hope to see you again and again. I don't know where Lamar is going to end up, but, man, I thought the Raiders – a lot of other teams should have kicked the tires. Man, kick the tires, but I'm telling you, if you come up with a low ball offer, Steve Bisciotti's just going to tag him at the low ball offer, and that would piss off Lamar even more. So my number with Lamar is $200 million guaranteed. That's the starting point to make Lamar happy, to make mom happy, and the new team will be really happy to have one of the great and most athletic quarterbacks I've ever seen.
We get 2 lousy draft picks. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.